This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, March 26th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. For Silicon Valley, disruption is the name of the game. And the coronavirus outbreak is no exception. Some tech workers have gotten in on the game and are doing all they can to flatten the curve. Our reporter Asa Fitch will join us to tell us all about it. But first, our personal tech columnist Joanna Stern is back. She joins us once again with her work-from-home tech tip. As always, Joanna, welcome back.
Kateri, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there.
All right. We have been asking our audience to send us their tips and ask their questions. And actually, today's tip came from an audience member, right?
It did. So I had actually had this on my list, but then we got this nice message from Dylan Tweeney, who is from San Mateo, California. And he reminded me that I really did need to talk about phishing and the security threats to all of us right now. So let's hear his tip and what he has to say.
So basically, watch out for fake email. And one thing that's particularly tricky is that email identity is really easy to fake. Even the address shown in the from field of the message could be fake. So talk to your IT people and find out what the best practices are from them for avoiding fake email. If something comes into your inbox and it's flagged as spam, or Google or G Suite says that, hey, this is likely a suspicious message, pay attention to that.
Okay. That is a really good reminder. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, he summarized it really well. One of my main things to say was actually, too, if your email account or your email service says, watch out for this email, definitely make sure that there is nothing there that seems shady. So that was one thing that I had to say. I really totally agreed with Dylan's advice on that. Two other things that I wanted to mention. Number one is that we all just need to be doing the usual best practices for our online security. So those are all the things you've been hearing for many years, and that's practice good passwords, always be on a secure Wi-Fi network. When you're home and you're using your Wi-Fi network at home right now, make sure that's secure. Make sure you've got the best router security. Also be using up-to-date software. That means on your phone, your laptop, your tablet, try to make sure you're running the latest operating system, or make sure that you're still getting security updates on those old Windows machines or what you might be using. The second thing I wanted to bring up is from a group called Pro Privacy, and they've launched a new website. You can go to proprivacy.com/tools/scam-website-checker. That does not roll off the tongue. But what I think is really interesting about this is that lots of phishing emails have been sending links to COVID-19 or coronavirus websites that promise to do something for you. They promise free testing kits. They promise new information about the virus. They promise you free masks, those sorts of things. That's what a lot of these phishing emails are doing. This website lets you put in the URL. So you don't want to click that URL in your email address. You want to go to this website, type in what you see that website or link as, and then it runs this check on the website and it will say, this is malicious. This doesn't look safe. Don't click this. And you don't even have to go that far. When you go to this website, you can even just look at the long list that they have, a long list of latest malicious domains. And some are, you know, you would actually like probably fall for, you know, I would fall for COVID-19 tracker dot something or other.
Absolutely. It's very hard sometimes. They do a very good job of hiding the fact that they're phishing.
Yeah. And one of the things that our company and many companies have been warning people is also things that may appear like their internal email. Some of these scammers and hackers have gotten very clever. They know where you work. They know the people you interact with. Just can't assume that the person who's sending you something you know. So look at that email address, like Dylan said. Make sure to just, you know, look for some other signs. Bad grammar, looking like, why would this person be sending me this thing? Just think it through.
All right. That is a very good tip. Joanna, you are still taking questions. Am I right in that?
Yes, I'm taking questions. We'd love more questions. We've been getting a lot of tips from people, which are great. And many are hilarious, and we'll continue to keep bringing you those. But we love questions. And so those questions, well, they'd have to be tech related, but they don't have to be like all work from home, because at this point, we're all working from home. We're having some tech issues. Whatever the tech issue may be, bring it up. So you can send me those questions on via email, joanna.stern@wsj.com, or leave me a message at our new work from home hotline, 314-635-0388.
Excellent. And we will have that number, as always, in our show notes and our description in the app. Joanna, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
Up next, some in Silicon Valley are treating the coronavirus like a hackathon and trying to come up with solutions on the fly. Our tech reporter, Asa Fitch, will join us to tell us all about it. That's after the break. The coronavirus has put a lot of companies on shutdown and a lot of projects on hold. But in Silicon Valley, the tech world is not sitting on their hands. They're brainstorming and programming ways to help people, pitching in on hundreds of hastily assembled projects and trying to hack everything from disease modeling to medical device manufacturing. Here to tell us more about it is our tech reporter, Asa Fitch. Asa, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey.
All right, Asa. So what kind of projects are we seeing these volunteers come up with?
Well, people are doing all kinds of stuff, from developing applications. There's one that's being developed to deliver groceries to elderly people who are more vulnerable to this virus. There's another one that aims to make 1 million low-cost ventilators in the space of 3 months. So they're kind of all over the map, and some of them are quite ambitious.
Are these just out-of-work programmers, or are there some big-name people also getting in on these hacking efforts?
Well, it is a lot of sort of engineers with much more idle time nowadays, now that everybody's working from home. But the big tech companies, too, have tried to pitch in. You know, Google is working on AI, using AI to try to find a vaccine, and using other capabilities to work on virus detection. Facebook has tried to help by distributing lots of face masks, 720,000 of them to be precise.
Where are they getting those?
Well, Facebook, in Facebook's case, they had a reserve of masks that they said was something they built up to deal with the potential impact of the California forest fires. And so they're saying that they're now redirecting those to the coronavirus efforts.
You also reported that Instagram co-founder Kevin Systrom happens to be incredibly interested in epidemiology. I guess that's not so surprising, but tell me about that.
Yeah, a lot of folks in the tech world, not just him, have turned into armchair epidemiologists during the spread of this virus. And he has come up with a model to predict the spread of the virus and has put it online. You know, a lot of people in the tech world kind of are familiar with this idea of things spreading virally, no pun intended there. And so they're kind of applying that sort of knowledge to this epidemiological problem. You know, some say that people in tech kind of are overstepping their bounds. They're kind of out of their lane on this. But, you know, Kevin is one of a number of people who've tried this kind of modeling. And I mean, his happens to have been quite accurate so far.
Excellent. I mean, I guess the question is, you called them armchair epidemiologists. The tech people, they're very good at programming and developing apps and things, but they're probably not the experts in most of the areas that they're jumping into right now. Are there concerns from actual experts that tech people should stay in their lane, so to speak?
Yeah, there are some concerns that people express about, you know, tech in its kind of confidence to that it has the solutions for everything is moving too fast and breaking too many things in trying to come up with a solution for this crisis. You know, but if you ask people in tech, they say this is just how it works. I mean, in tech, that's what you do. You disrupt things. You change the rules of the game. You don't follow the sort of slow old rules that, you know, may have worked in a different world, but don't quite work in the modern context. So, you know, there are different perspectives on this, but there are certainly many people who feel that some of these tech projects, not necessarily all of them, but some of them have kind of overstepped their bounds, or they've made too many you know, leaps or claims, or, you know, their progress is, you know, not quite the thing we want when people's health is at stake.
When we heard the FDA say that they were going to open the floodgates to allow people to create COVID-19 tests, and they were only going to test their efficacy 14 days down the line, there was a slight worry that this would lead a lot of people to start offering these tests online, selling them on Amazon. How has the tech community responded to that?
Well, a lot of these companies have moved fast and put out test kits very quickly that the FDA has warned about. And, I think they just view it as, look, this is how we do things. And, this is the way it should be. But of course, many of these companies have kind of been cut off by the FDA and its objections to this kind of home testing. So that's still a rapidly evolving area. I mean, the FDA has shown a flexibility in this situation, and, it's clearly willing to loosen some of the rules when it makes sense. The problem with some of these tests in particular is that the FDA is worried that if there are false negatives, people will think they're fine, and then they end up going around and spreading the disease more. So it's kind of it's a tricky balance that I think the FDA has to strike on this. But these tech companies certainly aren't reluctant to try to move forward and make this happen faster than the FDA is necessarily willing to do something about it.
We've been reporting extensively on how these tech companies have been moving to get into the health and health medical technology realm way before the coronavirus even started. And a lot of the concerns centered around fears of privacy overreach, data overreach. Is this an effort for them to clean up their image, or is this part of their expansion into an area that they already saw to be a quite profitable one?
I mean, some people hope that it will kind of clean up tech's image, or that it will show that the tech ethos, the tech approach to these kinds of problems is actually efficacious. And it's not just, okay, we're after your personal information to make money and, make better products and things like that. So there certainly is that hope out there. And the jury is obviously still out on whether that will materialize. It's a rapidly evolving situation, and there's, in fact, not a lot of time in this case to make something work. So, if you're in tech, you probably think, well, this is the only way to do it.
All right. Reporter Asa Fitch, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Don't forget, you can send us your questions, your work from home tech questions, if you haven't already solved them, or you can send us your tips and stories. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, is happy to answer them for you if she can. You can leave us a voice message at the number that we've put for you in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.